You're listening to DraftKings Network.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello.
Perfect time.
Wow.
Hi, Claire.
Princess Claire.
Princess Claire.
Say hi to Chris and Billy.
Hi. Hi, Princess.
Hi. Hi, Chris and Billy.
Aw, that is... I feel like that's the way we should start this Mystery Crate episode. Welcome.
Tell her
to
introduce it.
Yes, actually, Roy, get her to introduce the Mystery Crate.
Okay. All right, Claire, I want you to say something here. All right, Claire, I want...
What's missing?
So I want you to say, welcome to Mystery Crate.
Welcome to Mystery Crate.
Princess Claire.
Princess Claire.
Princess Claire.
There you go.
Oh, that is awesome. Welcome to Mystery Crate, everybody. This is exciting. I'm back in the driver's seat. I kicked Whittingham out of here. I'm yeah, that's right. What was
it's
that
a car noise?
Just driving off was right there.
We are excited about today's Mystery Crate. Right, Roy? Roy, are we excited? I feel like we're excited.
We are somewhat enthused about today's Mystery Crate.
After a week of Meadowlark meetings, Billy, how did you feel about Meadowlark meetings this week?
Meeting larks.
Yes.
I feel like it fits this week that we have Kate Fagan on the Mystery Crate. We did a lot of recording with her on Monday. And remember, we've done in weeks past, we're always rolling around these parts. And we stumbled upon a really fun conversation with Kate Fagan. And you're going to hear it right now. It's basically just about ice cream, right, Roy? I think like that's basically all it's about, soft serve versus
spoiler hard. Alert.
Oh, whoa. I mean,
yes, it was about ice cream. It was about different types of ice cream. It was about your favorite ice cream. It was about the wonderful subject of ice cream.
I bet Claire likes ice cream.
Yes, she does.
My favorite ice cream.
Yes, what is your favorite ice cream, Claire? That's smart. Her favorite ice cream is in the freezer. It's any ice cream, basically, in the freezer.
That's the best place to keep ice cream. So in this episode,
certainly,
we'll get
yes.
to the bottom of all the pressing ice cream, soft serve, froyo, toppings, all those issues. Greg Cody, I believe, joins us with some controversial takes on ice cream, if I remember correctly.
And we're really excited to be working, I guess. Are we working with Kate Fagan now? I mean, she's part of Meadowlark. I sat next to her at the group meetings earlier this week. I felt like that was a power move by me. I wanted to, you know, you don't want to just like float in. You want to assert yourself next to somebody important. So I sat next to Kate. And who'd you sit next to, Roy?
I sat next to John Skipper.
Roy wins the game.
The powerest of power moves right there.
Roy wins the game.
Yes.
That was Billy. Who'd you sit next to?
I was between Gary and Jessica.
Okay. So yeah. You were like blending in. You didn't want to get too close to the kitchen.
Good seats, fellas. Good seats.
It was a round table, so we were all there. Listen,
I don't know what we're allowed to say, by the way. I don't really know if we can mention any of these people's names.
I mean, I think everyone we've said is safe. We just can't mention that name. So that's the only one we can't mention.
That's the
Anyways,
name.
By the
you
way.
Heard that bleep. You heard that bleep, right?
And by the way, Kate has a book coming out later this month. All the Colors Came Out, A Father, A Daughter, and A Lifetime of Lessons. I know you all know that I've read it already. And no, I haven't read it yet. I would love a copy of it, Kate, if you're listening to this. It comes out May 18th. You can pre-order it now, I assume. I'm just going to say that. And if you can't, get it May 18th. But I think we should just get to this conversation because...
Well said.
Yeah, good job. That's a nice setup.
It will be well said when the edit comes out. But let's get to Kate. Yeah. Let's get to this fun conversation about
Let's
ice cream.
Let's talk ice cream.
Yeah.
Ice cream.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I know that, you know, we're just bantering here, but I do need some data collection on soft serve ice cream.
What data do you need?
I was blindsided by the fact that some people believe that soft serve is not the same as ice cream. That if I told you we're going for ice cream and I took you to a soft serve place, that you would feel duped. Yeah. This was a new belief system to me. So the question, and I'm wondering if it's geographical, like having grown up in the Northeast, everyone who seems to believe that soft serve is not ice cream, it's a subset that needs special delineation. They all seem to be Southern. So I guess who here believes that soft serve and hard ice cream are not synonymous? Like, or I mean, you think one and the same, like ice cream is ice cream.
If I had a choice, if I could choose any ice cream, now I'm Northeast too, I'd go to Carvel. Like, so I'm a soft serve guy. I love soft serve.
Well, I think the hard ice cream lovers like myself sort of look down on soft serve, to be honest with you. To me, it's two different desserts or two different types of food. When I have a half gallon of ice cream, I want it to be so rock hard in there that I'm like, when I'm trying to scoop it out, it's almost like, you know, a workout. You know, it's almost like an exercise just trying to get the spoon in there. That's how I like my ice cream.
You want the spoon to bend when you try to get it
yes.
out, huh?
Yes, Zagaki.
Greg, that's exactly the energy that I received from the people who believed that soft serve was not ice cream, was a subset, was that hard ice cream is superior. I'm with Sugatz in that soft serve is given to you at the moment at its best to be eaten. Hard ice cream
right.
is like a fucking workout.
Yeah, it needs
and
to
also,
thaw.
It's like an avocado or a banana. There's like a 2-minute period where it's good to eat. It's too hard, then it's too melty. Soft serve, you get it right away and you eat it. And it's nice, it's welcoming.
I want to chew my ice cream. That's how hard
he
I want
wants to cut it with a knife and a fork.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It should be like a steak. Like when you're eating a ribeye steak, that's what I want out of my ice cream.
No.
For you, is there a difference between froyo and soft serve?
I think that froyo, now here I think froyo is a subset of soft serve. When I say soft serve, I'm thinking like dairy ice cream, like Carvel or DQ or any local soft serve stand where I'm going to mix it with Oreos possibly, whereas Froyo is a subset of that. Like I'd want to know that I'm getting Froyo and not soft serve.
So if someone said, let's go get ice cream and they take you to a Froyo place, you'd be like, this is not.
Yeah,
this is
not. That's where I would be like, you should have said that we were going to Froyo. So.
I mean, what about gelato and custard? Do you treat that the same?
That's a really good question. I haven't really plumbed the depths of all of the different nuances of this conversation.
You want to get back to us on it?
Okay, yeah, like, let me do some thinking.
I'm from the Midwest, so I'm neither Southern nor East Coast, so maybe my opinion's different. But like, I think soft serve is technically chemically different than ice cream, but I think just as delicious and also more opportunities for toppings that kind of meld together well. So I don't see it as an inferior product, but I will say like custard, soft serve, ice cream, all kind of, you know, in the same realm. Gelato, completely separate, way creamier, way richer, just a different mouthfeel. But yeah, Froyo, completely different. Froyo and like any type of like non-dairy ice cream, I think like if you're taking someone out to ice cream, you should be like, this place only has like oat milk ice cream or something, you know?
I think Froyo is superior in terms of taste because you can mix, because like soft serve, what can you do? Like if you want to get crazy, you could do like chocolate, vanilla, like a swirl in a cone, right? Or like, I guess in a cup, where like Froyo, you could get something that's like sweet and then throw in a tart also. And then you mix it together. You put in some gummy bears and maybe like some hot Nutella or something. I like to mix it all together and get all the taste in there. And then just put in a spoon. Yeah.
Get gummy bears out of my ice cream. I mean,
well, that's the thing. They get too hard. They get too hard. Okay. Cookie dough though. Ooh, I love
M&M's and gummy bears. Yes. Fuck right on off. Just
sprinkles.
Yeah.
Sprinkles.
Sprinkles, yes, but I mean, Oreos is really the answer that everyone's looking for.
When you go to Carvel, do you go rainbow or chocolate sprinkles? I go chocolate crunchies, incidentally, but do you go rainbow or chocolate sprinkles?
Between those two, rainbow and chocolate sprinkles, always rainbow.
Always rainbow.
Wow. Always rainbow.
Same with my wife, always rainbow.
But I think Froyo probably has the best texture, and to use Jessica's term there, mouthfeel far superior to hard ice cream. Hard ice cream, like, maybe it's the pure version. You know, we used to churn it, and therefore we have an attachment to it because it was all part of, like,
we've evolved flavor. Past it, though.
Exactly. Now we can put it into a machine and, like, blend it with Oreo.
Mm-hmm.
Still like a good Cold Stone, though.
It's a whole production.
Gimmicky ice cream. Cold Stone and nitrogen ice cream are too much
Billy,
for me.
You're so right. Do me a favor. Put the ice cream in a cup. Let me eat it.
Exactly. Okay. Enough with the science experiments with the nitrogen ice cream. Just put it in a cup or put it in a cone and let's enjoy it.
Yeah, and also there's like a performance, like people who work at Cold Stone are like on performance.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's the experience. That's the best part. Peloton instructors. Like, how did we end up in a world where like spin instructors are like Hollywood superstars? That took a hard right turn, but that's something we definitely have to explore.
Witty, I know you're a fellow TikTok aficionado. Have you seen the Cold Stone TikTok famous guy who does all the Cold Stones like tricks on his TikTok?
No, it hasn't made its way into my algorithm. I gotta go and find it. Well, my phone's listening to me, so probably when I open TikTok again, it'll be right there for me. But yeah, no, I've not found this guy. This sounds great, though. I completely disagree with Kate. I think Cold Stone is absolutely a performance, and that's the best part of it. Like, you just want to go get ice cream? No, I want an experience. No. I want some smoke to emerge from my nitrogen ice cream.
I want to wait in a 45-minute line so I can watch somebody mix some Oreo into my ice cream.
Or I could just go to the grocery store and get a pint of Häagen-Dazs. Like, I know, if I'm going to go get ice cream, let's go have some fun.
No. Yeah, I was mocking you, though. Let's just be clear.
We have very different Cold Stone experiences because at my Cold Stone, it's basically high school kids that are always on break. So you're waiting 45 minutes, not just for the show.
Yeah, and you're the only person there.
Hanging out at the back. And it's like, I know pretty much how much you're getting paid. Like, I did retail. Like, I don't even blame you for what you're doing right now.
But wait a second, because going to get ice cream is the most fun Chris Whittingham has ever had.
Exactly.
It's like a big night out.
Oh, boy. Oh, man.
We can all agree, though, if you eat soft serve ice cream and you don't get the swirl, you're a monster.
Why?
No, we don't agree on that.
But the thing is, soft serve swirl doesn't leave any room for toppings, for the extra part of the froyo experience. Like, you have to like try and delicately put some sprinkles on top, but they end up falling off. Like, it's very hard to get things into the soft serve.
You know what I do is I ask them to stop halfway. This is what I do when I get in a cup, when I go to Carvel. I'm like, stop halfway, put some chocolate crunchies in there, then put more ice cream in there, and then put a second layer of chocolate crunchies on top of that. Yeah. How about that?
Well, one more layer. I think you're a monster if you get a sugar cone. I think the cake cone, so that the bottom bite has the melted goodness in it, and that last bite of ice cream in a cake cone is the premier bite of ice cream.
I also saw this, I think it was on TikTok, but it was like, you know when you get the drumsticks from the frozen aisle and they have like there's like that one last bite of the cone with the chocolate on the bottom?
I hate that chocolate.
If you made a cereal that was just that last bite.
And then you market it with Snackwells in the 90s saying that it's like healthy for kids, right?
Yes, Healthy-O's. Just a little bite of drumsticks.
Healthy-O's, like, fortified with all the vitamins and nutrients.
Milk chocolate, it has milk in it already.
Oh, I think that would be pretty good.
Remember when milk was healthy?
Wait, is it not?
I mean, probably
it's definitely not.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Maybe I've been doing it right all along. Eaters.
When we get to the point that Coca-Cola is healthy, I'm going to be laughing at all of you.
Didn't heaters used to be healthy?
Right.
I think heaters were once marketed as healthy.
They were, but I like where Billy's going, where Billy and I are going, where, yes, one day we're going to find out that Coke is healthy for you, and Billy and I love Coke. Cocaine. We're
Hey, what are your thoughts on ice cream cake?
The kind basically with the Oreo crumble as this is a Carvel ice cream cake that I'm thinking of. And
I did it well.
Yeah. I know what you're thinking of. So, it's a special cake. Go ahead. Yeah, it's a special cake. They don't have it very often.
Yeah. So I think anything with crushed Oreos, maybe that's the through line to this whole conversation. Anything that's a vehicle for crushed Oreos, I'm a fan.
This has been my favorite half hour of the day so far.
Yeah, it's been excellent.
Talking ice cream.
Yeah. Take your ice cream seriously.
I still have the visual of Greg Cody eating ice cream with a fork and knife.
Now I have him dipping it.
I do not have that
on a plate.
And dipping it into A1 steak sauce.
Well, I haven't spoken up much because I don't want to be too critical, but I'm totally anti-topping. What? I'm anti-ingredients. I like a plain ice cream. I like a vanilla ice cream. Wow. The only exception I make is my favorite ice cream flavor is maple walnut. So obviously that has walnuts. But otherwise, I'm just an old school plain ice cream guy.
So just a fork and a knife and some vanilla ice cream and you just go to town.
That's right. That's right. Open up a half gallon. Try my hardest not to eat it all in one sitting. That's me.
I love that you don't love toppings, but your favorite ice cream has a topping in it. I
mean, well, it's maple walnut. I mean, it's got maple walnut within it, but nothing on top. Like I would never put, you know, chocolate syrup on top of my maple walnut ice cream.
And maple and walnuts, very natural ingredients because you like that kind of old-fashioned flavors.
Yeah. It reminds me of New England.
Processed in your food.
It's a New England flavor, and I'm born in New England, and I just love that ice cream. What's your favorite flavor, everybody?
Oh, that's a good question.
Good talk.
Cookies and cream.
There's going to be some mint chocolate chip in here, right? We're going to get some mint, Baskin-Robbins, mint chocolate chip.
No, we're not.
Okay, I thought we would.
Kate is so right, though. There is no older sounding ice cream than maple walnut.
There has to be, though, right?
Rum raisin.
Macadamia
nut? Rum raisin.
Rum raisin is excellent.
Rum raisins for geriatrics.
But can you picture like a teenager going now and being like, I'm getting the maple walnut. That's right, everybody. The maple walnut is where it's at.
Pistachio.
That's a good one. Lemon ice cream is something that only old people would eat, right?
Well, that's sherbet, though, right?
That's another thing. We've talked about this a bunch. I call it sherbet, even though I know that there's an extra R that I'm adding there.
Billy, it's sorbet.
Sorbet.
Those are two different things. There's
Yes, is right.
Sorbet and sherbet are different. Are
no,
different
not sorbet.
Yeah, like possum and sherbet.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I get correct. You're saying it wrong.
Yeah, no, I'm dumb.
just let him admit it.
Stugatz, favorite ice cream flavor.
I like the cookies and cream from Ben and Jerry's. So good.
As Kate said, anything that's a vehicle for Oreos or cookies and cream, I'm here for.
This has Oreos and chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, yeah. Goodness me.
Delightful.
This is going to be weird, but my favorite ice cream, well, I like gelato more than I like ice cream, but my favorite gelato flavor is like anything that's like a mascarpone, like dark cherry type thing. Like, kind of like tastes like a cannoli filling, but in gelato form. That's my favorite.
Sounds good.
I don't like cherries. That's my contribution.
I agree with you, Chris.
Cherries of any kind. You don't like cherry flavored things?
I don't. I mean, like out like stupid like blow pops. I'll eat a cherry blow pop, but like anything with cherries. I don't like actual cherries.
Okay.
How often do you eat blow pops?
I haven't had one in years, but I just like I don't dislike cherry blow pops, but I don't like anything like with cherries on top.
I like the artificial cherry flavor on things, like a cherry Starburst. But if somebody gave me like a speared cherry on a drink, I wouldn't eat that cherry.
Gacky.
It's like medicine.
Cherry versus black cherry.
Good White Claw flavor.
No.
It is.
Oh man, what is that a thing that we've talked about? Because I don't understand why White Claw is a thing.
I've never had it.
Oh my God, what
and I'm feeling
about?
Pretty classist about it, honestly.
Like, White Claw is the best invention of the 21st century.
Terrible.
For me,
hard seltzers too.
Can we put that on the poll, please?
No.
Time out. Can we put that on the poll that White Claw is the greatest invention in the 21st century?
It's crazy how many
White
spinoffs
Claw
there are.
Is like a capitalistic.
Oh,
to me, White Claw is about keeping your shape and your figure while you drink, right? Like, White Claw is like, it's about how you can drink but still be super fit. It's not really what you want to be drinking, but it's the thing that fits into the concentric circles of like, it's not that many calories, it's not that many carbs. I don't really want to be drinking it, but it's the best version of this terrible thing that I could be drinking.
Yeah, you drink your White Claw and then you get on a Peloton later. That's exactly
Yeah, those two things.
No one does that, Roy. When has anyone ever done that?
Maybe you do the Peloton first and then you drink White Claw later.
I think the health
maybe that's the order.
Special treat for yourself.
Yeah, the health stuff is part of it, but it's also a great outdoor drink. Like it's kind of cornered the market,
Chris,
on I'm gonna be outside drinking. No. So this is
Chris, I know you love High Noons. I saw you drinking one last weekend. Nooners and White Claw and Truly, like they're all in the same category of hard seltzer. And like, honest to God, hard seltzers have changed my life because I am someone who cannot and does not drink beer because I am allergic to it. And so having something in a can form that is refreshing and has the same amount of alcohol, so I don't have to have, like, you know, a vodka soda or something that's going to get me, like, really hammered off, like, one or two. I am a lightweight, for what it's worth. Being able to drink something, like, a little bit lower ABV, refreshing on a hot day, like, that has changed my life.
Wow, you're allergic to beer. That hurts.
Dad, how does that make you feel? How did that hit you, Dad, when she said she's allergic to beer?
I winced. I was, you know, because I was walking in her shoes all of a sudden, imagining how that would be.
Yeah, but it's more beer for you.
What's the ingredient that you're allergic to, Jessica?
Well, I avoid wheat. It makes me very sleepy and tired, so I can't eat it anymore, unfortunately.
My feeling about White Claws is that nothing tastes more like an artificial flavor than White Claws. It feels like the cherry flavor is like red number 47 that they put inside of a White Claw. It doesn't taste anything like other flavors. It's its own thing, and it's just so artificial to me.
I can't help but feel super judgmental of White Claw. And I don't want to feel this way. Like when I went to a wedding and all they had was wine or White Claw.
What? That's weird. I like White Claw. Yeah, that can't be like the only
option. Terrible.
Have you had White Claw, or there's just something about it that you don't like?
At that wedding, I had one. I mean, and I think it's flavor dependent is what I've been told. If I had a flavor that wasn't good, I didn't find my flavor.
Mango or black cherry.
People say. But I think I more reject it on the basis that the people I am seeing drink it, I think that they're drinking it because they don't like calories. And I'm not saying this is you, Jess. Everyone has their own reason. And I don't think they actually want to be drinking it. I think that it's like a fitness capitalistic. I need to have the perfect body pursuit.
No,
and I don't like that.
I think you're overthinking this. I just think it's trendy.
Not
and people at all. Like trendy things. White Claw became a thing. And then now everyone drinks White Claw, and everyone has to profess to like White Claw. By the way, in social settings, I have professed to like White Claw, and I hate it.
You I do? Will not People... stand for this, and I'm sick.
Wow, I thought that professing that you didn't like White Claw was really the place to be. So it seems like I'm on the wrong side of all
so,
of this.
Oh, okay. No, so I think, so you're someone who just likes to be counterculture then, because...
Wow. Just because you don't like White Claw?
No, because if you're saying like, you know, if you're saying disliking White Claw is the place to be... Like, I think that is against the common wisdom, which is that, you know, all the kids like White Claws.
I feel like Kate just had...
You just said you don't like White Claw, but you pretend to like White Claw.
Yeah, I did. I pretended to like White Claw because I thought it was the popular stance.
I feel like Kate just had a take and we're dissecting it.
Just be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like White Claw, and I say that I don't like White Claw. That's my position on it. And I do think that, like, I do think my rationale for why I don't like it, like, I would like to be proven wrong on that, because I do think that I see a lot of people drinking it, and I think that they're obsessed with their bodies and, like, having perfection in their bodies, and, like, they've landed on the White Claw as the thing they can drink and still be a part of drinking culture.
I don't think that you're wrong, because I think, like, if you're college age and you're drinking more than, say, like 3 or 4 drinks at a time, you're probably going to have a light beer. And so White Claw is just the alternative to having a light beer, where it has, in my opinion, a little bit better flavor than like Bud or Natty. But like, you're still not over, you know, the calorie intake is comparable. It's probably like 100 calories a can or something like that. So you're not drinking 2,000 calories a day, but you're still getting a buzz on. I think I don't think you're wrong.
I do think, and tell me if you think I'm wrong, I think that White Claw as a brand is associated with pretense, sort of like driving a Land Rover. Am I wrong?
But I don't think it's a Land Rover. I think it's like a Kia.
Ah.
You
think
it's like an electric vehicle. Prius. It's an electric vehicle,
okay.
Hybrid.
You don't think it's more like a Tesla? It's just like the name.
Not
is,
a Tesla. Maybe
Nooners
maybe,
are Tesla.
If it's like a Tesla, those people are drinking like Negronis. You know, like that's not.
But like the thing about White Claw is that, like, I imagine a lot of people. It's kind of like. You know, people associate Kleenex with tissues or Xerox with making copies, where it's like you call it a white, or like Ubers with ride sharing. Like a lot of people use Lyfts, but say that they're getting an Uber just because it's like the language that they're understanding. Like White Claw is so synonymous with hard seltzer that I imagine a lot of people are not drinking White Claws, but say that they are just because it's the most understandable thing to say.
It's crazy how fast all these spin-offs for White Claws have emerged. That just kind of gives you a taste of how popular they are, because the sales must be crazy, because every single beer company now has some sort of seltzer.
I think every single kombucha company is also trying to make a hard kombucha to battle the White Claw market share.
Do you guys get kombucha? I don't get it.
I love kombucha.
Oh
my God.
I love it.
I love it. That's what Tesla drivers are drinking, Kate, right?
That's right.
Hard kombucha. So I started drinking kombucha when I was in like college, and I used to like drink it on the way home from like the grocery store and be like, wow, like this is, I feel like I'm kind of getting buzzed. And then like 2 years later, they put an alcohol warning on it that it was alcoholic. And the whole time I was drinking it and didn't realize. And now they're making it like hard kombucha because it's naturally kind of alcoholic because of the fermentation, and it's just taken my drink game up a notch, and it's good for you and it tastes amazing and you get a little buzz.
You have to find your kombucha. I would say that apparently I'm making a lot of proclamations here. Of all of the drinking categories, I think there's more bad kombuchas than a lot of other types of drinks. I've found one that I like after having like 30. Whereas I think other drinks, you can find more that you're going to vibe with and that they all taste similar. Whereas kombucha like varies widely about like how vinegary, how sugary, how much flavor it actually has. So you kind of have to find your kombucha.
We've also been Americanizing this. It's kombucha. It's with an O.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, for the love of God.
Jeez. Kombucha.
Kombucha.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Thanks to Kate for joining us. We're still recording this, and Billy is outside in the rain. It's, by the way, rain, one of the joys in my life now when it rains, because my grass is getting fed, and that is something I never thought I would say when I was like 20 years old. I love some rain. Do you like rain, Billy?
I love a good rainstorm. It's good for the crops, especially during the summer and the hot months. It cools things off. I'm learning that it's not the best when you're outside recording a podcast, because I'm not under a roof. I'm sitting in the rain. But I was inside before, and there was a lot of echo. So I had to, I don't know if you could see that it's starting to
yes,
rain.
Yes, do you want to go inside?
Yeah, you might want to cover up your microphone.
We have things that we
laptop.
Need to tease why don't you, here. Yeah, why don't the laptop's you, getting wet. Maybe,
why don't you,
maybe I should move here.
Not, why don't you set up our next interview while going inside in the rain?
Okay.
No, that's so, better. There you go.
I'm now standing a little bit underneath the roof of the shed, and hopefully this doesn't ruin the laptop, but it is getting pretty wet. So coming up next, we talk to – oh, that was a big drop. I'm going to have to dry this. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Kenny Young, and he's going to tell us how to be responsible with our finances, and we're going to ask him maybe a lot of questions about NFTs and irresponsible spending that Mike Ryan has been doing lately.
And remember to expense that new laptop to Metalark Media.
This is a Metalark laptop, so I can't tell them that I broke it already.
And Kenny Young is a Rams football player, for all those of you that might not have known that, even though you probably did, because he's Kenny Young. Let's get to it.
Joined now on Mystery Crate by Kenny Young, who's a linebacker for the Los Angeles Rams, but he's here to tell us about his new initiative, Tackling Finances, which will help young students of Los Angeles Room and Board with financial literacy. Kenny, I guess we'll kind of start here before we ask you for your financial advice to us. How did you get into this?
Man, I think life gets you into it, right? Standing in poverty gets you into it. I think poverty is a mindset, and I think being broke is just temporarily what value is in your pocket. So that's why I say that in those contexts, because it's really about your way of thinking and your way of living and perspective. The program that I'm deciding to do with my foundation, Tapping Young, is partnering with LA Room and Board and Unify on a way to I could bridge the gap on financial literacy with college kids. These kids are anywhere between juniors and seniors in college. They either went to UCLA or at a community school, or they've been adopted, or they've been homeless. These kids that are still saying, you know what, no matter my living situation, I'm still going to pursue education. And I come from a place where, you know, the thinking about money was one way, and I grew up that way. And then I got older and now my thinking, you know, it alters a little bit. But the rules and the principles always remain the same. And I think it's my obligation to help shine light and provide the resources of information to people that really need it.
Now, Kenny, as a result of some major news in the financial world, we have a pair of people on the Zoom call who have decided to take up financial literacy themselves. I have Mike, who's here with me, and Chris Cody, who's here with me, in the kind of Reddit boom of these famous stocks. They decided that they think they know things about literacy. So I'm going to have Mike ask you some questions right now about if he is a sound investor.
Oh, Kenny, services like yours, where were you a couple of months ago? I'm in a bad way, brother. I've made so many bad investments. I feel like I'm losing my ass. So I need you to weigh in on some of the investments I've made, if I should have the diamond hands or if I should cut my losses and get out of here. Are you good with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Number one, sneakers. Should I continue investing in the sneakers app and spending my money because there's resale value? There's all these apps out there. There's GOAT. There's StockX. Should I invest in sneakers?
What's your debt? Are you in a lot of debt,
brother,
medium debt, or a extreme amount of debt?
I went 3 months unemployed. I recently left a big corporation. I'm paying out of pocket on Cobra, although I am now in a startup company that I believe in the spirit of things, but so far still no health insurance.
Mm. You sit down literally and you have the conversation with yourself and you get a piece of paper and a pen and you make a T-chart, right?
What's and that? What is this?
A T-chart. So basically you just run a line down the middle of the paper and then you run a line across. And what you're going to do is you're going to put income on one side. And this is just a way of getting your mind to understand, you know, should you buy a pair of sneakers? Okay. Because I'm not going to tell you you should buy a pair of sneakers. And I'm not going to tell you you shouldn't buy a pair of sneakers. Right. That choice is up to you and you only know that choice. But what I'm going to tell you is money is important in a position where you don't have income like you want to. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate. I don't know how people that are 50 years old that's worked for a company for as long as they're dead, you know, they have to get laid off. Their health benefits are done. And, you know, they're dependent on the stimulus check. Yeah. It's tough. Mm-hmm. So right now, I think it's important to realize, can you afford those sneakers? Because this is what I'm all about. I don't care what your lifestyle is. How does your lifestyle look? Write it on a piece of paper. If you think you deserve a Rolls Royce in the next 5 years, then write it down. I just had this conversation with one of my friends, and she was telling me how she can't stop buying a pair of shoes every month. Mm-hmm. And I said, there's nothing wrong with buying a pair of shoes. It's more of how can I afford to buy these pair of shoes about going to
Kenny,
a store. I don't care about
Kenny. If I may, you're imparting great life advice, but some of these shoes are just so dope. You ever see the Air Max Bacon? I went on GOAT for that because I missed out on the sneakers app.
Listen, there are dope shoes. So here's my thing. How can you afford those shoes? What is it that you could do?
I guess I could stop buying Jake Paul fights on Triller. That's one of the things that I could cut out of my life.
You could do a lot of things. You could say, you know what? Instead of going out on dinner for the next 2 months, I'm going to save all that money and just buy a pair of shoes. Okay. Because there are dope shoes. Nothing wrong with buying expensive shoes. Just can you afford those shoes?
I appreciate
that.
So
if you take the idea of, okay, what's my income? That's one section. You write down how much money you're making every single month. Then you say, okay, well, expenses, what are my expenses? How much money is coming out of my pocket every month relating to shoes?
Okay.
And related to anything. And you say, okay, well, if most of my expenses come from flights or come from movies or whatever it is, or Netflix, you know, how many subscriptions do you have?
Share a password.
Steal an admin.
It's so many things that you could do, is what I'm saying. Even if you don't have the money to orchestrate a life to where you get those shoes, nothing's wrong with shoes.
Kenny,
how can you afford those shoes?
Kenny, would you advise? And we're gonna go rapid fire a little here because I have a lot of investments, and it sounds as though I need to get to this quickly. So we'll go rapid fire. Would you, with your financial advice, recommend that I steal someone's login for Netflix then?
I'll just steal someone's login, man.
Not steal, Kenny. Share.
Okay, share. I think, yes. I think if someone could borrow it, if you can use someone else's money to pay for things of your leisure and your thinking, then you won.
This is great advice.
You're not using them. You're just getting smarter.
All right, Kenny, you're really helping me right now. Remember, go search.
Listen, I'll tell you what. For music, I told my girl, I said, listen, I'm going to cancel mine. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to pay $15 a month or whatever it is. We're going to pay $10 a month.
Exactly.
What does that $5 a month, right? What does me joining the family plan do for me and the family? Yeah. One, I know my girl is going to spend money on music and she's not going to care, which is cool too. But me, I'm going to take out my $10 and add it to her plan. And now the plan is only $10. You get what I'm saying? So yeah. Now we've saved money, that $5 over 12 months.
All right. I hear
How about this, Kenny? I have a question for you. How about instead of if Mike goes out to like popular places to take pictures and put it on Instagram, he just goes by there, takes the picture, puts it up, and then goes home.
Yeah, would you give that
advice? So people still think he's doing those things. He still gets kind of like the love on social media, but isn't wasting the money doing them.
What's the goal, though? What's the goal of the all the flashy stuff?
Likes.
Likes. A social.
How many likes you have on Instagram?
Man, I got, I'm building. Right now, let's see my last post. Wow, 2,500 likes, including a couple celebrity verified.
Well, and people thought, okay, and that's another thing. You can make money off posting pictures. Did you know that?
Yeah, well, I think it's against a policy here at Meadowlark. But like I said, I got a lot of bad investments and not a lot of time. Right. So we're going to go rapid fire here as quick as you can. Should I continue spending $800 on Obi Top and Top Shots?
Is it an investment or is it a liability?
Right now, I don't really see what the resale market is.
Yeah, I think you should get out of it, man. If you don't have certainty that you're going to have a return on your money of some sort, then you should get out of it.
Really?
Get out of it.
Before we move on, do you have any interest in an Obi Top and Top Shot before I continue? I'll sell it
to you. I do not, brother.
$600 man. This is, I paid $800
for it. I promise you, I'm good. I don't know nothing about it.
All right, cryptocurrency.
Okay, what about it?
Should I invest in cryptocurrency? Because right now, I essentially have my entire ESPN buyout in Ethereum.
Like I said, I'm not going to tell you what you should do or what you shouldn't do. I'm going to tell you to consider the fact the way I study crypto. That's what I would do. Study crypto, study where it's going, right. Study if it works for you. Does it work for you?
Okay.
If this idea of crypto works for everybody in the world but you,
Here's the thing.
It sounds cool.
Elon Musk keeps tweeting about Doge to the moon, and I don't want to miss out on that. But every time I try to invest in Doge, I lose like 600 bones, man.
So what's your bad investments? That's my question.
Doge.
And all of them, it sounds like.
AMC. Obi Toppin and sneakers and...
Get out of all that, man.
Yeah.
Get all your money back.
But Mark Cuban says it's not a loss if I don't sell.
Hey, Joe, listen, I'll tell you what. This program I'm starting, you could join in. You have a free pass. I'll get you the password. And you can learn yourself about what we're talking about.
Okay.
Because a lot of things that we're talking about are things that could be afforded and it is a lifestyle that you project that you want. Nothing's wrong with that. If you love likes, if you love women, you know, or whatever it is, commenting, you love the attention, nothing's wrong with that. But how can you afford it? And how can you get paid for that?
Great.
Because here's the cool thing. The cool thing is, yes, I don't have to wake up on a check every day, but I can wake up knowing that I just got in touch with a clothing company. I took some pictures out, you know, some cool pictures. I got paid for it. I got the likes from it. I got attention from it. And I can sleep at night. Now, you're not just waiting on your check. You're getting money all the time from something that you love to do. Off lifestyle. You can get paid for lifestyle is my point.
I wrote that
it's
down
just
on
about
my,
how you do it.
I wrote that down on my T-chart. I also wrote down time is money just because I like to write down cliches. So I'm going to divest from all these investments. But lest you think I'm the only one on this show that's made bad investments, Chris Cody's got about 5 minutes to rattle through his bad ones. Take it away, Chris Cody.
I don't even want to know. No. I'm too embarrassed to tell him how bad my investments are. But I want to know first is, give me the teammate that made a purchase where you had to sit them down afterwards and explain the T-chart method to them because they just like they're not handling their money right.
Well, the first person I did that with was I did it with myself. It's so uncomfortable. Listen, guys, I'll tell you this. It's so uncomfortable reading your bank statements at the end of the month. I don't care if you spent $5. I don't care if you spent $5,000. I don't care if you spent $100,000. It's certain levels in there to where, you know, bad investment. You'll see what your bad investment is. You'll see, oh, well, damn, this hot date that I went to, I should have saved the $250 instead of thinking if I do this date, I'm going to get a return on my feelings. But you're not going to get a return on your money. You get what I'm saying? So it's like it's things that we have to be real with ourselves first. I think that's the main thing because I know certain things that when I look at my bank statements, I just can't afford them.
Kenny Young is with us here on behalf of the Tackle Young Foundation. It'll be Tackle Finances, helping young students of Los Angeles with financial literacy. Kenny, very much appreciate you joining us here.
Kenny, one last thing. Should I take the Rams to win the Super Bowl? I'm in a bad way.
Yes. Take the Rams. That's a great investment. Great
oh, really? Day. Sound investment. All right. Do you accept Sushi Coin?
Kenny, I can see your face, man.
Swipe right on your screen, and you will see the face of someone that's lost thousands of dollars on Nokia.
I can't do it. Yeah, but how much is your income? I shouldn't say how much is your income.
That's a very delicate question.
How much is your debt to income ratio?
Ooh, right now? Let me check Merrill Lynch. Hang on. Brother, the bears are growling. Let's just say that. But it's okay. I've got $600 in sushi coin that's going on the Rams Super Bowl. Kenny Young, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome, buddy.
All right, we've lost Billy. Thanks to Kenny Young for joining us. Check out all the stuff he's got going on. That's pretty cool what he's doing. But where's Billy? Roy, what happened? During this episode, we had Billy in a hollow room. We had to put him outside so we could actually understand him without an echo. And then it started raining on him. Where the hell is he?
It seems like your new favorite thing has ruined his laptop.
That is true. I love rain, and it has possibly ruined Billy's laptop and cost Metalark money.
Yes, that's not good. But you know what was good?
What?
This was good.
This was good.
Mystery Crate was
good. What'd you like better, Kenny Young or the conversations with Kate?
Oh, ice cream.
Yeah, I mean, we put Kenny Young in a losing spot there. That was like a cool thing he's doing. We had a fun conversation, but you just can't compete with Kate Fagan and ice cream.
Yeah, how do you follow that?
Yeah. What should the people, subscribe, rate, and, no, we don't subscribe anymore. Follow. The Mystery Crate. We are trying to get Mystery Crate to take down all the other Metalark, Lebatard and Friends podcasts. We want to take out South Beach Sessions. We want to take out Stupidity. We want to catch the Lebatard show. Let's get the big show. That's not going to happen, but we can try.
Wherever you get your podcasts, but especially with Spotify, you need to follow. That's what you do. You follow on Spotify. Yes. So follow, please.
Billy, you're back right as we're closing the episode. Are you in the hollow room again, or is it still raining?
I am in probably a very echoey room now. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And now my daughter's here. Grayson, hold on.
This is going well.
I pooped. Huh? All right. Well, I don't know. I hope the mic picked that up because my daughter just said she pooped.
Well, have Grayson say goodbye to everybody.
All right, Grayson, say goodbye, everyone. Have a good day. Bye. Say have a good day. Why are you picking your nose?
Oh, I do at this
age. She's a Cody. Say have a good day.
Have a good day.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.